I wanted to talk a little bit about just like half a verse in Hebrews 11 that I was kind of meditating on this morning. So if you want to turn there, I can read it to you as well. Near the end of Hebrews 11, which is the chapter about faith, starting in verse 32, it says, "And what shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, and Samuel, and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, and put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their children, received back their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting their release, so that they may obtain a better resurrection." There's just one piece there in verse 34 that I was meditating on this morning, and it's where the author says one of the things of the testimonies of faith. It says, from weakness they were made strong. And that was what I was thinking about. I was thinking about Jacob in the story of Genesis 32, where we see the very familiar story where Jacob has, we know the story, he's stolen the birthright, he's stolen the blessing, and then he fears for his life. His parents, if I recall, Rachel says to him to leave. Rachel says, leave Rebecca. Pardon me on that one. You know what I'm talking about. His mom. Says, hey, leave. And so he leaves, and he ends up marrying and working for Laban. And in the end, God tells him to go back to return to his country and to your relatives. And so in 32, we see this. But it's just, he's battling fear. I mean, so when I think of weakness, for me, there's so many different weaknesses, even within our own body. There's so many different things that people are going through, people go through. And that's what was in my heart this morning. Fear is one of them. And we see this here. Jacob is afraid. And he sends people, so God asks him in chapter 31 to go back, and he says, I'll be with you. And then Jacob sends some ahead to tell Esau, hey, I'm coming back. And it says, there the messengers return in verse 6 to Jacob saying, we came to your brother Esau, and furthermore, he is coming to meet you, and 400 men are with him. Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. So one of the ways that we can be tested and made weak is to be battling fear or distress. There's many things, sickness. There's many different ways that we can be made weak by the Lord, allowed to be made weak. And so Jacob, in verse 9, I love this. He just says, O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, O Lord who said to me, return to your country and to your relatives, I will prosper you. I'm unworthy of all the loving kindness and of all the faithfulness which you've shown to your servant. For with my staff only I crossed the Jordan, and now I am become two companies. He had split them into two companies, thinking his family and his slaves and his animals, everything, because he thought if Esau attacks one, then the other one can escape at least. Like, this is fully in his mind now, especially he's heard the report, they're coming with 400. People are going to die. That's what's going to happen. So I'll reduce the chances that it's going to be the whole gamut that dies. But at the end, I think fairly convinced in his heart that Esau wants to kill him, because that's how he left. When he left, Esau wanted to kill him. So he's coming back and he's crying out to the Lord. He says, deliver me, in verse 11, I pray, from the hand of my father, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him that he will come and attack me and the mothers with the children. For you said, I will surely prosper you and make your descendants as the sand of the sea, which is too great to be numbered. So then we know he spends the night there, but he starts sending them off ahead. He's sending bribes. Like every group is going with gifts, and he's just going to overwhelm Esau with gifts. And we know that we jump ahead to verse 24. This is where Jacob wrestles with. It says, and a man wrestled with him in verse 24 until daybreak. What struck me right now as I was just reading this again. So we know this, and they wrestle all night, and in the end, when in verse 25, when he saw this man saw that he had not prevailed against him, he touched the socket of his thigh, so the socket of Jacob's thigh was dislocated while he wrestled with him. Then he said, let me go, for the dawn is breaking. But he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. So the man says to him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel. For you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed. So I don't know. I had a crazy thought right now. And you can tell me afterward. I'm out to lunch. But he says, I'm not going to let you go unless you bless me. And the response is he changes his name to Jacob to Israel. The thought that ran through my mind was that perhaps Jacob didn't realize he'd already gotten the blessing. And that the blessing was when the man touched his hip and made him weak. And was that actually the greatest blessing? And it's hard to say that when we're going through great trials and great tests. But when we think of being made weak, remember Paul? Paul was going through trials. He was going through sufferings, and it was so great. He's crying out to the Lord three times. He says, Lord, take this from me. These were natural, real sufferings. And God says to him, this verse where for William, he says, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. Similarly, God says at a time when he calls Matthew, people's reaction to God calling Matthew, they're like upset. Why would he do this? Why would he pick this sinner? Full-fledged sinner, robber, thief, betrayer. He's our own countryman, and now he steals from us to give to the Romans. This guy he's choosing? And Jesus says, go and learn what this means. I desire compassion and not sacrifice. And if there's somebody, I'm giving you the big amplified version. I say that almost every Sunday when I start ad-libbing on what it says in the scripture. But if there's somebody who's going to have compassion on people, Matthew is going to have compassion on people. Because he knows where he came from. He knows what kind of man he was. He was a robber. He was a betrayer. He was a thief. But in me, he found forgiveness. He found mercy. And the others who maybe didn't come from that, God had to take them on a journey. We know that with Peter, right? Peter ends up betraying Christ. And it was a needed part of the journey for Peter. Why? So that he could learn compassion. He could learn how to have mercy, that he could become that instrument of God that God wanted him to be. I was going to use the word hate. Maybe that's too strong. I don't like suffering. I don't like physical pain. That seems to be, it's either probably trials at work, tests with the children, or physical pain is the way the Lord can make me weak. And there's probably other ways. It's a nuisance to me. And I deal with it in such a small part. I haven't slept much in the last two nights because my hip is bothering me so much. For the last weeks and for the next 13, 14 weeks, my wife will not sleep much. I'm upset because I have two nights where I can't sleep. Already I'm bothered by it. I get a glimpse, and there's so many different tests and trials that people in our fellowship go through. And it just makes me this morning very compassionate about that, that in weakness we can be made strong, and that by faith that's what God desires to do. And then in our weakness we can learn compassion. Like I think of that, and mine is so small. But why would God let us go through that? He says, consider it all joy when we go through these things, that we could learn patience, we could learn perseverance. And Winnie and I were talking about it on the way here. Why would God allow different things that seem so, that shouldn't plague a Christian. Why would God allow that? Well, perhaps it's so that we could have more compassion, so that we could come alongside somebody who's going through the same thing. And we could say, I know what it's like. I've been there. I know the pain you're going through. I know the suffering. And just to be there to weep. Blessed are those, what does it say, who weep with those who weep. I can tell you, it's easier to weep with somebody who weeps when you are weak yourself. When we're strong, the tendency is to look down. Right? But Jesus says, I desire compassion and not sacrifice. I just want to encourage those who are feeling weak this morning that God's power is made perfect in weakness. He has not forgotten you. He loves you. He cares so deeply for you. We were reading a story that every time I seem like I share of this story, this series. And in this current book, as I've said before, Josiah, the character is traveling through 2 Peter chapter 1, all these castles from faith, the castle of faith he's going through. And the journey that we read this week with the kids was the journey to the castle of patience. And in between the previous castle, which is escaping my mind at the moment, and the castle of patience lie the mountains of difficulty. And so he's going on this journey over the mountains of difficulty. And when he's approaching the mountains of difficulty, he meets somebody, a fellow traveler. And this fellow traveler, his name is Woebegone. He's actually an agent of the devil. But Josiah is young in the Lord and doesn't necessarily see it. And so he's going over the mountains of difficulty. And Woebegone is just constantly berating him with negative thoughts. Constantly. In the story, it's King Emmanuel. Why would Jesus send us through these mountains of difficulty? Doesn't he know? Look at the trail. If we slip, we're dead. He must not love you. This is the whole journey through the mountains of difficulty as Woebegone is just pounding him with these thoughts. And so they finally get over. And Josiah's faith is incredibly tested, but he continues to remind himself of the promises of King Emmanuel, of God. He's reminding himself, and he sees that through the mountains of difficulty, that even in the midst of the mountains of difficulty, Jesus continues to provide for him. And so his faith is greatly tested. But in the end, they're coming down the other side, and Josiah doesn't realize it, but they're nearing the castle of patience. And Woebegone says, and he had received a warning, says, stay on the path of righteousness. Do not get off the path. And they're nearing the end, and Woebegone says, hey, if we, you know what? The trail goes out and doubles back. If we cut down here, we can cut a lot off the journey. It'll save us a lot of time. And Josiah has this reminder, no, but Woebegone just pounds and pounds and pounds him. So he finally says, okay. And in the end, he slips into the valley of discouragement. And he doesn't realize what he's done, but he's trying to find a way out. And so he's there, and he's getting, there's a path above, and he'd yell at people up there, and he'd say, hey, can you help me out of the valley of discouragement? And some would say, you know, just think positive thoughts. Think positive thoughts. Believe in yourself. And so for a month, he's down there, and people are just giving him all this self-help. Just, you got this. Just, you can do this. And he finally gives up. He's just totally distraught. And then all of a sudden, this man he's met before, this man's name is Encouragement, looks over into the valley of discouragement from the trail, and he says, Josiah, is that you down there? And Josiah's like, yeah. He says, what are you doing down there? He says, I fell into this. I got trapped. I got deceived. I got deceived by someone who was discouraging me, these discouraging thoughts. In the midst of the mountains of difficulty, I got deceived, and I ended up in this place, and can you help me out? And Encouragement says, I can't help you out. I can tell you, though, how to get out. And Josiah loses it. He gets so upset. He says, you don't care, just like nobody else cares. You're not going to help me out. And then Encouragement says, no, I can't get you out, but I can tell you how to get out. So Josiah kind of listens, and then he just says, you have to praise the Lord. That's how you're going to get out of this valley of discouragement. And so he starts to just, by faith, he just sings this song. And it's the same song he sings that I wish I was actually looking on my phone while we were singing, trying to find the words to this song. But it is so similar to this song. I can't remember if we sang this morning. I'll admit I was a little distracted as I was making a few notes. But this song, very much like this, it says, I will sing of my Redeemer. We know this song. He who took the nails for me. I've been purchased. I've been pardoned. Bound to him, I'm truly free. This song comes up over and over again. And Josiah reminds himself through this song of what Jesus has done for him. And as he's going up, all of a sudden, he starts to stumble, and encouragement is standing up there. He says, don't stop praising the Lord. He's just yelling at him, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Don't stop. And so he sings the whole way out. And he gets to the top, and actually what encouragement yelled at him is, hey, if you can find somebody else and bring them with you, that actually will help you get out of the valley of discouragement. Share some encouragement with somebody else. And he says, there's no one else down here with me. He's so discouraged, he can't see anybody else's problems. And encouragement's looking down. He's like, no, there is other people down there with you. And he says, look underneath that rock over there. And he meets some man. He encourages him. He says, come out. No, King Emmanuel loves you. Jesus loves you. And so they come out. And Josiah gets to the top, and he looks down, and he sees all the people that are bound up in the valley of discouragement. And he just says, can I go back? It's produced in him compassion. He says, I know what it's like to be down there. He gets berated because he says, I've just failed King Emmanuel again. Every journey, it seems, he falls, he stumbles. And it's this thought that the devil puts in his mind, is I failed King Emmanuel again. I failed Jesus again. Let's remember that though the righteous stumble, we don't want to stumble. And by faith, what it says, if we add to our virtue, if we add to our faith these different things, we can never stumble. But when we do stumble, if we stumble, we want to get back up, because that's what the righteous does. Not because we're good enough, not because of anything, but because we serve a God and a Savior who loves us and who died for our sins. And so he goes back down, and they warn him, encouragement warns him, he says, go. And so this other man goes with him, and they go down praising the Lord, and they bring others back out of this valley of discouragement, because he'd come to see the need of others through his own trials. Anyway, I share that as an example, but I just wanted to share for a few minutes this morning. I'm going to stop there. I just want to encourage you, if you are feeling weak, if you are going through trials, if you don't understand why you're going through what you're going through, I can give you just the encouragement that Jesus loves you, that he cares for you, that he's not forgotten you, and that he desires for you to continue to trust him, and that through it he will work it for good, even though it seems so difficult. And I don't want to downplay the difficulty of it for a second, but in it I want you to encourage you to praise the Lord. And the reason I share that story of Josiah, because the one thing that I have struggled with, I would say, in my own walk, when I think about praising the Lord, and it says, consider it all joy when you go through various trials, I find it at times hard to look at my current trial and just praise the Lord for this trial. Lord, thank you that I am going through this right now. I sometimes find that difficult. And what's encouraged me as I've been reading these stories with the kids is, Josiah, whenever he seeks to praise the Lord, he just goes back to praising the Lord for what Jesus has done for him. It's not, praise the Lord, I'm in the valley of discouragement. He just comes back to, I will sing of my Redeemer and he who bore the nails for me. I've been purchased, I've been pardoned, bound to him, I'm truly free. And we can come back to that simple thing. And as we do that, and we perhaps get out of our trial, I find is probably you can relate. Once we're perhaps past that trial, past the mountains of difficulty, sometimes we can look back and say, you know what? In the moment, I couldn't see it. In the moment, I couldn't understand what God was doing. But as I look back now, I can see that God was doing something in me, and that I have more compassion. I have more concern for others. Whatever it may be, I find oftentimes hindsight allows me to look back at a trial and say, I can see what God was doing. But in the midst of the trial, we don't have to understand. We can trust in the Lord and lean not on our own understanding. Just acknowledge him and just by faith praise him. And I don't say that lightly. I know that there's trials people have been going through for years. But we can just praise him because we serve a good God who died for our sins, and that through him we've been purchased to walk with him, to know peace and joy even in the midst of our trials. So I just want to encourage you, by faith, we can be made strong in our weakness, and God can use you in that time just to be a ray of compassion, a ray of hope to others. Anyway, a few thoughts for you this morning. I hope it's a blessing.